Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The writer of the book of Hebrews likens the Christian life to running a race that requires patient and disciplined endurance on the part of the runner. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant brings before us a message from the life of King Asa that underscores another key ingredient in running that race to the finish. Asa was a man whose reign was commended as pleasing to God in spite of the fact that he came with a bad heritage behind him. His father did evil in the sight of the Lord and earned God's condemnation. Nevertheless, Asa did what was right in the sight of the Lord and achieved the purpose God had set for his life. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with us to the 14th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles and follow along as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, Running to Win. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Carl and Hudson chartered a plane to take them elk hunting. And just as they did the year before. And they had a great time elk hunting. They were very successful. In fact, they caught six large elk. And when the pilot came back to pick them up, they had their six large elk with them. The pilot said, sorry, I can only take four elk on board this plane. So they said to the pilot, but last year the pilot allowed us to take six. And they kept pleading with the pilot. And eventually he gave in and said, okay, if you insist, I'll take the six. But I just want you to know I didn't want them because we're now going to be over the weight restrictions. They loaded all six elk on board. They took off. And no sooner had they taken off, the plane crashed. As they were climbing out of the plane, Carl asked Hudson. He said, Hudson, do you know where we are? Hudson says, yes, it looks very familiar. In fact, it looks like the same place we crashed last year. Listen, if we keep doing what we've always done, we'll keep getting what we always got. But friends, it's time for a change. Instead of being satisfied with the status quo, it's time to start pursuing a life of victory. And so today I'd like to speak to you on the theme, Running to Win. God has a special race designed for each of us. Let me say that again, my friend. God has a special race designed for each of us. He has a special race designed for you. And listen, sadly, most people fail to win their race. Malcolm Forbes once said that he who dies with the most toys wins. But Malcolm Forbes was wrong, for he who dies with the most toys only dies and leaves a lot of toys. The person who wins is the person who lives out God's purposes for their life. Amen. The person who wins is the person who lives out God's purposes for their life, for nothing can compare with the joy and delight we can experience when we know we're carrying out God's purpose for our lives. And I want to ask you, my friend, are you enjoying that experience? Are you living in the joy of that experience? Are you living out God's purpose for your life? My friend, if you'd really like to experience it, God has a special word for you this morning. If you really want to run to win, God has a special word for you today. And today I'm going to look at the amazing story of King Asa, the third king of Judah, as I share three lessons from his life that I believe will be very helpful to us as we seek to run to win. If you have pen and paper, put this down first. Make sure you have your Bible with you, because we'll be doing some reading from our text this morning. So you run quickly and get a Bible and have a pen and paper. And the first thing I want you to write down today is this: victorious runners focus on pleasing God. Victorious runners focus on pleasing God. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse number 12 tells us this. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 12 says, verses 1 and 2, I'm sorry. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa his son reigned in his place. In his days the land was quiet for 10 years, and Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Victorious runners focus on pleasing God. You know, we love to bless our messed up life on our messed up role models. Oh, I've heard story after story where people will blame their role models. Sometimes they'll blame their parents, and they'll tell us how messed up their parents were. And if it wasn't for my parents, I wouldn't be in the mess I am today. But my friend, it is true that role models and parents have a significant impact on us. But the number one problem why our lives are often messed up is because that we focus on pleasing ourselves rather than pleasing God. And my friend, I want to suggest to you this morning that if you really want to run to win, you need to start focusing on pleasing God, because it is an amazing thing that happens when we start focusing on pleasing Him. Listen, Asa had terrible role models. King Asa had terrible role models, but he chose to focus on pleasing God. You know, if you read 1 Kings chapter 15 and 16, along with 2 Chronicles chapter 14 to 16, because Asa's story is told in 1 Kings 15 and 16, as well as in 2 Chronicles 14 to 16. But if you read these, you'll discover that Asa's grandfather, King Rehoboam, reigned for the first 15 years of Asa's life. He was the king, and Rehoboam was an evil man, and he practiced all sorts of wickedness, and he allowed God's people to practice all sorts of wickedness. For 15 years, Asa watched his grandfather live an evil life. And when his grandfather died and his dad Abijah became king, he was even worse. Listen, Asa was raised in a very ungodly home. But Asa chose to please the Lord. You see, when Asa was only 18 years old, he would get the greatest test of his life, because there was a major crisis in his family. His dad Abijah, who had only been king for 3 years, died. And amid all the grief he was experiencing, 18-year-old Asa became king. The odds against his success were great, for Asa had no time to prepare to be king, to be a leader. There was no preparation. He was just a teenager, and he was going to take over a nation that was in big trouble, because it was a nation that had rebelled against God. It was a nation that was in constant war with Israel, which was a much greater power than they were. And this 18-year-old, he now becomes king. What a time to be king. Most of us would have gone into a pity party, but Asa was focused on pleasing God. Asa was running to win, and Asa realized that this was part of God's purpose for his life, and he was confident that God was on his side, and if God was on his side, he was confident God would help him. My friend, I just want you to pause a minute. You know, Solomon, the wisest man, it's a pity he didn't take his advice. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1, he encourages us to make sure we remember our Creator from the days of our youth. And that's what Asa had done. He had decided to follow God from the days of his youth. And so now he was 18 and he was thrust into this incredible role. He was relying on God because he was confident that the God who he had served is the God who would help him. And I'm so glad we can depend on the Lord. When we focus our lives on pleasing Him, we can depend on Him to be active in our lives and to help us through life's drama. Listen, is your life focused on pleasing the Lord? If that's, what's your excuse? Some people have the excuse it's their parents. Some give the excuse that they're too young. Listen, you and I, we have absolutely no excuse. Asa had poor role models, and yet as a youth, he decided that he was going to walk with God. And I trust this morning that in a few minutes when I give the invitation to come to Jesus and to follow Jesus, it is my prayer that this morning, regardless of your age, regardless of your background, that you will make a decision. God, I want to run to win, and therefore I'm going to live to please you. Listen, Asa pleased the Lord. One of the ways he please the Lord, write this down, is by developing a vibrant relationship with God. He developed a vibrant relationship with God. I love how 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse number 2 reads. Here's how it reads. It says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. Asa had heard stories that the Lord was the God of his great-grandfather David, but that was not good enough for Asa. Asa chose to make the Lord his God. Is the Lord your God? I'm glad my father had a vibrant relationship with God, but listen, that was not good enough for me. I needed to spend time developing my own personal relationship with the Lord. And my friend, I want to ask you, are you doing that? Are you developing your own vibrant relationship with the Lord? Listen, victorious runners focus on pleasing God. And one of the ways we focus on pleasing God is by developing a vibrant relationship with Him. Some of you have parents who love the Lord, but although you're saved, you have not been making time to develop a strong relationship with the Lord. It's almost as if you're hanging on to your parents' relationship. But listen, you have got to make your own, take time to develop a strong relationship with the Lord. And today God is saying to you, my brother and sister, it's now time. But Asa not only developed a vibrant relationship with the Lord as he sought to please him, he pleased the Lord by getting rid of things that offended God. Put that down. Asa pleased the Lord by getting rid of things that offended God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2 to 4, we read, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. Listen, Asa didn't waste time. He immediately went to work cleaning house and getting rid of all the ungodliness. My friend, how long? Just a few weeks ago, I shared a message with you where God challenged us all about getting rid of the sin and to take a new path to repentance. But my friend, I believe there's some watching this morning who have, as heard, you know, we heard what God said then, but we haven't made any changes. Listen, you cannot claim that you're trying to win. You cannot claim that you're trying to please the Lord if you don't get rid of the things that offend God. And would to God this morning there might be change in your home. Listen, cleaning house is not always easy. Flip over to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 16. 2 Chronicles 15, verse number 16. Here's what Asa did. Asa removed Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. It calls her here in the New King James, it refers to this lady as Asa's mother. Some versions refer to her as his grandmother. The Hebrew word can be translated either way, but if you look in 1 Kings chapter 15 or chapter 16, you'll find it also refers to her as his grandmother. And so I believe accurately this was his grandmother, but Asa removed his grandmother. Just imagine the courage it must have taken for Asa to depose his grandmother from the position she held as the queen mother. My friend, if we're going to clean house, sometimes we got to take, listen, not sometimes, we've got to take control of our homes. And there are some Christians who are allowing our children and our family members to live and do all sorts of sin in our homes. But my friend, when we decide that we're going to live for God, when we decide, listen, we're going to run to win, we got to make sure we're cleaning house. We've got to have the courage to encourage our children and to insist, listen, if you're going to live this lifestyle of sin, you cannot live this lifestyle of sin in my home. It takes courage to walk with God. May God help us that we will do the right thing. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it tells us this: therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Listen, there is a race that is set before us, and the text tells us here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, if we're going to run the race that is set before us, we must lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. My friend, may God help you, and may He help me. May He help us all, that we will get rid of the sin and the weights that are holding us back from living for God. Listen, victorious runners focus on pleasing God. But secondly, victorious runners take rest in God's power to deliver. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 18. I want to read the first three verses. Victorious runners take rest in God's power to deliver. Jehoshaphat, the Bible tells us, had riches and honor in abundance. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong place. Verse number 8. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. So he had 580 who had a shield and a bow. Verse number 9, then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. Listen. Asa was overpowered. He had 580. The other guys had almost twice as many, 1,000,000. He had some men with bows. The other guy had 300 chariots. Listen, these were fighting machines. So Asa went out against them, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephatha at Marisha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Jerah. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Just think of what had happened. Asa was in trouble. He had come before an army much mightier than he was, 2-1 odds. He had very puny weapons. They had the latest weapons of that era. But Asa turned to the Lord and he said, listen, Lord, it is nothing for you to help. You know, my friend, life is filled with all sorts of drama that can scare us. Am I right about that? And guess what? One of the challenges, it's great to start well in the race and be focusing on God, but along life's journey, there are going to be trials and tribulations and problems. And if you don't have some way to deal with them, some people get sidetracked and sidelined. And so it's important that we realize that we can always turn to God. Victorious runners take rest in God's power to deliver. Right now I'm speaking to people, and I bet you there's someone listening to me this morning. You know, you're concerned, you're worried because you have a health problem, or perhaps your spouse has a health problem, or one of your children have a health problem. Some of you are panicking because of COVID. Some of you are worried because of job issues. Some of you are worried about because of relationship issues. And if you're not careful, you're so downcast that you're not running to win. You've been put on the bench. Your worry has defeated you. God is saying to you this morning, listen, you can keep running to win because you can cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. And listen to what the Asa said in verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. God, we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. My friend, no matter what it is against you, with God's strength, with God on your side, listen, you will be victorious. You know, I read a story of a U.S. Marine who got separated from his unit on a Pacific island during World War II. You know, they'd been caught in an intense battle, and somehow with all the smoke in the air, he got separated from his unit. And alone in the jungle, he heard the enemy soldiers coming in his direction. You can imagine how scared he was. He's by himself. The enemy is heading in his direction. And so he had to search, where am I going to hide? And as the Lord would have it, there were some caves in the rocks. And he decided, okay, he scrambled into one of the caves. Listen, but he soon realized, the enemy was not going to just look in one cave. They were going to go from cave to cave until they found him. And so he started praying, Lord, please protect me. Lord, please help me. And as he waited and the enemy drew closer, it seemed as if God was not going to do anything. He started getting discouraged. And, you know, he saw a spider building a web over the cave that he was in. And as he watched the spider lay a strand after strand of web across the cave, this man, he said, man, God, I need a brick wall, and you're sending a spider. He was so disappointed that God had not intervened to rescue him. And so as he lay in in the darkness of his cave, he could see them searching one cave after another. And so the man, he was now prepared, because he realized that any moment now the enemy was going to enter his cave. He had his weapon ready. He was going to make his last stand. And then they finally got to his cave. But to his amazement, they looked at his cave, and they moved on. Guess why? The spider's web, because the spider's web had covered the entrance, his cave looked as if no one had entered it for a long time. They looked at his cave and they moved on. And that day the man learned an amazing lesson that God can use, with God, a spider's web is stronger than a brick wall. Oh, I hope somebody heard that this morning. With God, a spider's web is stronger than a brick wall. And I want you to know, my friend, no matter what is going on in your life, you can depend on Jesus. Amen?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.